1 Corinthians chapter number 1. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. And if we were to go through this first book of Corinthians, we'd find that this church had a multiple amount of problems within it. Had many, many problems. But Paul is writing to them in order to instruct them how to help them in their problems, in their sins. And I believe he gives us the key here to not only the people of Corinth, but also to you and I, the key to it of having to be able to survive, how to go forward, how to serve in these days in which we live. And I believe it is given to us in here in 1 Corinthians and also some other places in the New Testament that Paul wrote also concerning those things. So if we would, verse number 17, we'll start in chapter number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. And we'll read down through, verse number 25. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Paul is writing here to this church. He is explaining and telling them why he is there, why he is writing this particular passage, this book of 1 Corinthians that we have divided up into verses and chapters, was originally written by the Apostle Paul as a letter. It's a letter to a church. It's a letter to a group of people that are meeting together on the Lord's Day every week, just like we meet together. And Paul, as an apostle, had the authority from God to write letters and to correct some of the errors of that early church. Have to remember that early church. Here we are in 1 Corinthians, and it's in the first century. They haven't had any instruction on a lot of things, and so Paul is really their teacher. Paul is that one that is giving them instruction, and now as we have it contained in our Bible, the canon of the Scripture, it was deemed to be inspired of God. That means not only was it the words of Paul, but these literally are the thoughts, the words of God, therefore inspired Paul to write these things. And we have them preserved to us in our English Bible, and we have them given to us, and so therefore it's just as meaningful to us as it was to the people of Corinth. And so these things that he writes about are not just a dated letter. You know, a lot of times we get letters from folks and it has a date on it, and 10 years down the road, a lot of things that are said there does not pertain. But this is not like that. This is not a dated letter. This is an open letter to the people of the Lord. And as it was inspired of God, so therefore it means it should have the same influence upon us as it did to the Corinthian people. And Paul is telling them that there are certain things that the Jews required, certain things that the Greeks or the Gentiles required, and he comes down to the conclusion that it all is taken care of by the preaching of the cross. And this morning, I believe the most important thing that any church can do or any preacher can preach is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that we are here this morning is because He died upon a cross. And the reason that we are here this morning is because someone preached to us. This gospel has been handed down from generation to generation. From the time of the Apostle Paul into 2014, almost 2015 now, this gospel has been proclaimed, and certainly it is still deemed the same way as is given here in this first chapter. He says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe," or to those that are called, and to those that believe the gospel, or to believe the Scripture. He says in verse 18, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." The world out there behind these doors, outside of these doors this morning, the preaching of the gospel or the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, it literally is foolish to them. They have no understanding. They think we are archaic, that we have no real understanding of modern ways, and so therefore we are foolish. And same way with the time of the Apostle Paul. But he says, "But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." There are two worlds in which we live in. There's the world of the lost and the world of the saved. The world out there has many, many people that believe that what we have is foolish. He says here a little bit later that the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And then Paul, verse number 23, he just underlines, doesn't matter if you want a sign, doesn't matter if you're after wisdom. Paul says, "But we preach Christ crucified." That's not wisdom. That's not a sign. That's the preaching of the cross. And so this morning, I want us to deal with just a little bit about how that we survive in the days that are ahead is the way that we have survived up to this very point, and it's by the preaching of the gospel. It's by the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these flags that are hung around this building this morning represent multitudes of millions of people, of which we have missionaries in those countries, and we have a number more countries. We don't have room to put up all the flags, but they're there preaching the gospel. They're preaching the same gospel that we preach. They're preaching the same Christ that we preach, and they have the same message that we have. And so therefore, the way that we go forward is the way that we have gotten to right where we are, and I do not believe there has to be a change. I do not believe there has to be a update on what we have or what we believe. It's just simply the preaching of the cross. And so this morning I want us to deal with that just a little bit. For Jesus Christ died for us, and He is certainly delivering us day by day. He delivers us, and even the prayer of that model prayer, "Deliver us from evil." And we find that He does that continually, and one day He will deliver us completely, and we'll be gone to be with Him. And so this morning, we think about the world in which we live, and how we're going to make it, how we're going to survive. We live one of the most evil times of, I believe, of history of mankind. I'm sure that there are many other areas and many other centuries and times that have been very, very wicked, but ours is more open than I have ever seen it, and I'm sure it is for you. We have within us with our society, we have within our world, we have what the Scripture calls the wickedness of Noah's day. We have before us the perversion of Lot's day. We have before us the predictions of Timothy's day. For Timothy said, "Know this also, the last days perilous times shall come." And I believe that we're living in some perilous times. And I believe more than likely they're going to become more perilous than they are now. I believe it's going to be far great more peril to the child of God in the days to come than what we have gone through thus far. And so we need to be aware, we need to be prepared of how we're going to deal with those things when they do arrive. And certainly we are living in the apathy of the book of Revelation. As that church listed there, Laodicea, we mentioned it not too long ago, they were neither hot or cold. They just went with the flow with everybody else. And the Lord said, "I wish you was either hot or cold." And He said, "Because you're not, I'll spew you out of my mouth." Revelation chapter number 3. So this world in which we live is an evil world. It's evil because of the direction that it is going, because it's going away from the cross. It's going away from God in a break speed and going as hard as it can go away from the God of heaven. The course of this world is downward. The course of this world has never been an upward course. The course of this world is a downward course. One of the great arguments against evolution is that mankind is not doing better. Mankind, everything is running down. We're not producing more. We're not doing more. Nothing is going forward. Everything is running down. And so our world is going down away from God as quickly as possible and as deteriorating more and more each day. And it's evil because it has a God. And the Bible calls it the God of this world, who we know of is none other than Satan. He is the God of this world. And so it's evil because of this. Now Paul talks about some things about the cross over in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6 and verse number 14. The Bible says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The latter part of verse number 12 talks about that we suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And so as the world progresses and goes away from God, there's only one thing left for you and I to see, and we see it more and more all the time, is that the world is very adamantly against spiritual things. Now, they're not against religious things. Don't get the two mixed up. This world is a very religious world. I was listening to a news report last night, I think it was last night, and wasn't listening too close until all of a sudden made a statement. And it said that the world's religions are getting closer and closer together so that they can work together so that we can have world peace. Tells me that we are where the Lord said we would be about the time He would be coming. The newsman talked about how that he hoped that Islam and Christianity and Judaism and Catholicism, all those could get together and just have what he was calling, what he would have been talking about, would be a utopia, that everything would be so good and so great. Only problem is, I don't see that happening anywhere. I don't believe you see that anywhere. I don't believe the world sees that, because there are so many struggles and so many difficulties in this world, because there's a God of this world that's going to disrupt any kind of type of religion or any type of consolation of doing things that would be right. It's evil, this world, is because of its sinfulness. It's turned from God, and you have all kind of murders. You have the drugs, you have the stealing, you have the alcohol, you have every imagination of the thoughts are only evil continually, as God said it was in the book of Genesis, right before the flood. So what are we going to do? We have to preach the cross. How are we going to survive? We have to preach what we have always preached. The people around the world this morning, there are multitudes of people that are experiencing persecution because of what they believe. They are suffering great persecution because they name the name of Christ, because they are Christian. Now, maybe their idea of Christian might be different than mine. And there's always differences that will be before us. But there are multitudes of people groups this morning, because they will not succumb to certain rules or regulations or religions of others, that they are undergoing persecution continually. And there are children that have been killed. There are families that have been destroyed. All you have to do is listen to the news reports or read the newspapers, and you'll find out that there are many people that are suffering this morning because of the cross, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because His name is a terrible word to anyone else. You can talk about God, but don't dare mention Jesus Christ. You can talk about a higher authority. You can talk about some supreme being somewhere. But do not put the name Jesus Christ to Him. And even in our own country, there are things that have happened to make sure that we don't talk about, or we don't pray in, or we don't do things in the name of Jesus Christ. And so there is a onslaught against the child of God. Paul goes in these verses back in the book of Galatians. We could look at so many verses there other than those two that I read. Galatians chapter 1 talks about this world in which we live as an evil world. And the Jewish believers, they were struggling because of persecution that came from the Roman Empire. And so Paul writes these books of Corinthians and Galatians and all these others in the New Testament. Many times he's writing to them to correct an error, to correct something that's wrong, to keep them from going farther. But I do believe in my heart that one of the best things that a church can do is to keep its heart and mind stayed upon the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in that cross we have deliverance. In that cross we have a message that will always change the life of an individual that would come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. Been a lot of news here lately about the fellow that suffered so much in World War II. I heard last night a report by Franklin Graham on Fox News concerning, I can't even remember his name, but was shot down in World War II. They survived 40-something days drifting in the ocean, then so much they were captured by the Japanese and were put in the torture chambers and was beaten and whipped. And it's amazing that in that time of struggle, that individual, that one man said, if I ever get out of this, I'm gonna serve the Lord. And he wasn't a religious man at all. He was a very rebel rouser, and he wasn't religious, but he realized that the struggle he was in, that if he could ever get out of that, he was going to serve the Lord. But he forgot all about that. How many times we make those promises to God? Sometimes I've had people tell me, lay on a hospital bed, well, if I ever get out of here, I'm going to serve the Lord. And they never do come to that conclusion. And so his life goes on, and the struggles that he had, and he went to a early preaching campaign by Billy Graham, and he heard the message of the cross. He didn't like it at first, and left, and come back another time and heard the same message, and realized that's exactly and something that Billy Graham said made him remember what he promised God in those struggling times. And he gave his heart to the Lord. Just died this past July. A great story. You ought to read the book. I haven't read the book. I hope to be able to do that and to see some of the things that is depicted. But had a great testimony. I heard that out of his own words, mouth last night there on the video. And it was all because of what? Preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross changes lives. It changes directions. It changes our attitude. It changes everything about us when we hear about the one that died on the cross of Calvary, and we present that message to the world that maybe many have never heard a clear, true presentation of the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord. And He is the only way of salvation. He's the only hope of this generation and the generations that might come. And He was the only hope of the generations gone by, and He is the hope today. And so we must proclaim, we must preach. I know this book is full of messages, and I haven't touched the hem of the garment. I think I've got every message I ever preached. I told somebody earlier, I look at some of them, I don't even agree with a lot of things I used to preach. But I agree with what's in this book. My interpretation may have been wrong, my thoughts may have been wrong, but this book is never wrong. This book is always right. And I've made that statement so many times here lately that we must understand that this book is what gives us the power of God, the gospel, the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world despises the cross. Not necessarily just that little cross, But the world despises the person of the cross. They despise the thought of Jesus dying on a cross. They mock and laugh and make fun that a man would die and then he would be raised again. There's never been a man born that has had as much influence as Jesus Christ has had upon the world. Now, there's been some important people. There's been some very prominent people that have been born. But I'll tell you what, there's none of them that have influenced the world like our Lord. There's no one that has had the influence upon the generations from the time of His birth until this moment. No one has had that kind of influence except the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world despises that man, that person of the cross. The Jesus of this world is another Jesus. The Bible talks about another gospel. Paul says there's some that follow another gospel. Then all of a sudden he makes a statement which there is no other gospel. We can change it, we can move it, we can manipulate it, but it does not change the true gospel message of salvation. It does not change the message that Jesus died for my sins. It does not change the influence that Jesus has made in my life, in your life. He's made a difference, so therefore the world despises that man that has made differences in the lives of people. That's why they want to take down the crosses. It's not necessarily the cross, but it's what it represents. That's why they want to remove them from our cemeteries, and they want to remove them from our parks. They want to remove them from all places that are publicly owned acreage, and they just want to get rid of the emblem of the cross because they know what it stands for. It stands for Jesus Christ. And so we find, despite all of those things, we must, because He is the Lamb that is sufficient and He is the sovereign God that gave Himself that we would live eternally with Him. And I'm so glad this morning it was not on how much I would know. I'm glad it was not dependent upon how much I could understand. I'm glad it's not dependent upon how much I can remember. I'm glad it's dependent upon how I trust Him. Just believing upon Him, the Son of God. They despise that person of Jesus Christ. As we read in 1 Corinthians there, let's go back just for a moment and reread those verses. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 18. Well, verse 17 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Paul says, "My calling is to preach the gospel." He's already told us what that is. It's the death. Jesus died. It's the burial. He was put in a borrowed tomb. And it's the resurrection. And they saw Him alive after His passion. And so Paul says, "I am sent to preach the gospel." Notice what he says, "not with the wisdom of words." It's not how that we can articulate or how well a communicator we might be. It's not the wisdom of the words. He said, because if that be the case, then the cross of Christ would be non-effective. It would be because of how we say it and how we present it. It would be because of us. I don't agree with everything that Billy Graham Association has ever done, or I don't agree with everything that I don't agree with everything I do. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to having a clear presentation on national airways, Franklin Graham is as good as anybody I've ever heard. He was clear with Bill O'Reilly. I mean, very clear. And last night, he was very clear with, I forget which lady it was. Might have been Greta. Very clear that it was not the words of Billy Graham that affected that man. It was the Word of God. And it's not the wisdom of words that makes the difference. It's the message of the words. It's not how we deliver. It's what we deliver. And Paul says, I come to preach the gospel not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ would be made non-effect. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, there's the identity, which are saved, is the power of God. Oh yeah, the Jews, they might require a sign, and the Greeks, they might seek after wisdom, Paul said, but we just preach Christ. Preach Him crucified. Deliver the message. The world despises the person of the cross. They despise the price of the cross. They don't want to talk about that bloody religion. I'll tell you what, salvation is a result of blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. All the way through the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, all the way through, every time you see a lamb killed, or you see a turtle dove killed, or you see a sacrifice offered, every one of those things point to one day of the supreme sacrifice of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. It is a bloody message. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus had to die. He had to bleed. He had to suffer. A few years ago, a man came out and said, well, it wasn't really the blood that made the difference. It was just His death. I beg to differ. It is the blood of Christ that brings salvation. We have songbooks now. Thank God ours are not. I wouldn't buy the thing if it did. We have songbooks now that have taken all the songs out that have anything to do with the blood of Christ. We have song books that are written and published now that have done away with all the songs that have to do with a Christian fight or the armor of God. Those things, they have so watered it down that it has none effect. That's the wisdom of man. And Paul says that's not the gospel. And so they despise the price of the cross, which is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the world loathes that message. But to the saint of God, we love the message. He bled and He died. He suffered. He gave His life that I might live. We even have books this morning that are called Bibles, and they've taken the blood out. Multiple places. You have no Bible without the blood. And so we find that the preaching of the cross is hated by the world, but it is despised by the world. The preaching of the cross, the world likes the preaching that makes them feel good, and dying doesn't make us feel good. We don't want to hear that we're sinners. We don't want to hear that we're dying. We don't want to hear that we're living below the standard that God has for us. We don't desire to hear that. None of us do. But by the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize we are dying. We come to a realization, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to spend somewhere. Mankind is not dying other than physically. We'll go to the funeral home. We'll go to different places. We'll go one day to our funeral homes and our places. And we're dying physically. But you be assured that that body that's laying in that casket is just the house. God gave that soul to live in. And that soul, that spirit, when we die, the Bible says for the child of God to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. We're living. But on the other side of the coin is that individual that dies without God. The rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes after he had died, and he said, oh, Father Abraham. You see, he was still living. He was still conscious. He still had feelings. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. And as much as we don't like to talk about it or think about it, hell is just as real as heaven is. And the preaching of the cross involves the whole scope of life. It's not just the heaven side, but it's the other side. And the world despises the idea that I'm a sinner. I'm doing the best I can, so that's well enough. We hear a lot today that Christians ought to not go outside their church doors and try to persuade people to believe like they believe. I don't try to persuade anybody to believe like I believe. I try to persuade people to be saved. Born again. And what they believe after that will be between them and the Lord. So they despise the preaching of the cross. It exposes man's sinfulness. But the preaching of the cross exalts God's holiness. He's holy. He's righteous. He's far above. And so therefore, if we're going to survive, we've got to do what we've always done. The world says, let's change. People say, let's do something different. People say, we need something new. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with new things. Nothing wrong with new ways. But I'll tell you what, the preaching and the message must remain the same. Years ago, when I was in church as a kid, I remember coming to church and we had an old stove right in the middle of the building. That's how we kept warm. Sometimes didn't do too good a job at that. I sort of like flipping the switch and we get warm. Flipping the other switch, you get cool. That's different. But that hadn't changed the message. There's nothing wrong with changes. There's nothing wrong with modern things. But don't modernize the gospel because it does not change. If that makes me archaic, if that makes me old-fashioned, I'm guilty, both hands up. Because the gospel must remain pure. In this world, they not only despise the person of the cross or the price, which is the blood, they don't just despise the preaching of the cross, but I've got news for you. They despise the people of the cross. They really don't like us. And we see that more and more prevalent. The people of the cross, we're a peculiar people. We're peculiar. We're not like everybody else. Don't be guilty of saying, I want my children to be like everybody else. There's some people I didn't want my daughter to be like. There's nothing wrong with being different if we have a reason. There's nothing wrong being different if we can explain why we're different. We have fallen short there so many times. There's nothing wrong with being a peculiar people because the Scripture says we are a peculiar people. As far as the world looks at us, and boy, that's strange. Why did they do that? That's strange. You know, you may have some family members, you may have some loved ones, you may have some neighbors that think, oh, it's strange. Every Sunday morning they go to church. That's strange. Oh, they don't do the things that everybody else does. They're peculiar. They despise. Oh, but we may be peculiar, but I'm glad, thank God, I can be a praising people also. I can praise the Lord. I can rejoice what He has done for me. He has died that I might live. He came from glory that I might be able to go to glory. He left heaven that I might go. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish. Oh, it's foolish. But to us is the power of God. And you can add another verse on that scripture, is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. The conclusion is, when you preach the cross, the conclusion is that everybody needs salvation. The problem is, how do we get salvation? There's 15,000 ways, ideas, thoughts on how to get saved. It ought to be very simple. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Believe on me, you shall have life. The Philippian jailer, after that incident of the singing, the incident of the earthquake and the doors being opened. The Philippian jailer drew his sword. He's about to kill himself. And Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." And before the night was over, that Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know what he's asking? What do I have to do to be like you? In the midst of trials, in the midst of troubles, you're singing and praising God. I thought it was foolish, but what do I have to do? That's the most simple question anywhere in the Scripture about salvation. What must I do to be saved? Now, the Apostle Paul could have given a long speech, a long message on all the details of salvation, what happens, but Paul gave a very simple answer. And I'm glad it's this simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt. Now, believe me, Paul could have gone into the doctrinal issues of salvation. He could have gone into what is called soteriology, salvation. The doctrine of salvation. He could have gone through all the details of it. He could have gone through the whole scope of things. But Paul, knowing who he was talking to, he just simply said, "Believe. That's all you have to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Romans 10:9-10, same thing. Just believe. I'm thankful one day that I heard the gospel. I'm thankful that I was in a family. I was in a church that preached the gospel. Because of the preaching of the cross, I came to realize one day I was that sinner. It wasn't how much I knew. It wasn't how many verses I could quote. It wasn't on how much detail I had. I was just a young boy. I didn't have a lot of that. But I knew one thing. I knew I was a sinner. And I had a preacher that was faithful to God. And he preached on the cross. And thank God I got saved. Now my testimony is no different than yours if you're saved. Oh, it may be different place, different time, different people. But we come down to, what must I do? Believe. The result's the same. We're here this morning because of the preaching